Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines and all the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Yeah.
nothing happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the brothers
Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
The table. All rise for the king to fill the table and the knights of the round table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table with old King Shazoo's the Terrible. We have our honorable knight, Muddy Mudman, on here as well. And hopefully some other folks will be piling in soon. Anyway, happy Easter out there to everybody. You know, Christmas is, in my book of faith, supposed to be about Jesus Christ, and Easter as well. Christmas was turned into Santa Claus and the Christmas tree, and Easter was turned into the Easter bunny and the Easter egg, and, you know, it's kind of distorted up the whole meaning of the purpose of Christmas to begin with. So I won't dwell on that too much. I just want to say to all my brothers and sisters out there of faith that happy Easter to you. We know what Easter is truly about, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and you know, our Lord and Savior. So with that said, we've got so much to talk about today. It's just crazy. You know, this world out here has really changed since its beginning. If you could visualize something brand new off the store shelf that just shiny and brand new and smells good, looks good. Imagine this earth the very first day of creation. The rocks looked like jewels under your feet. I mean, everything was just clean and pristine. The water is just as beautiful as all get out in the skies. Are the most beautiful clear blue you could possibly imagine. The plant life and the animals and everything out in the world, just so amazing. You know, even to this very day, as time has distorted all the beauty of creation and brought it to where it is at this point in time with all the things going on, even to this day, I can still look out into this world and I can still see beauties and wonders. You know, when you look past the trash heap and you see this beautiful flower sitting right in the midst of a dump, trash laying everywhere, and you just focus in on that flower and you see something like a honeybee land on that, and you just ponder that thought of how beautiful that vision is in your mind. How wondrous the amazing complexity of the bumblebee himself, or the honeybee, the way that this little creature can fly around and pick up pollen and go around and pollinate other plants. And it's just so amazing that plant and that bee have a symbiotic relationship with one another, that they count on one another for life to continue on. And if you look out there at the entire system of nature, the way that things, nature works with itself in harmony, and you just have to be amazed. It's, in my mind at least, it's a wondrous world that we live in. You see so many just heartwarming, beautiful things when you look out there in nature, just watching the animals, you know, the squirrels running up and down the trees, or birds flying around and doing the things that they do to feed their little chicks and stuff. And I think to myself, I said, you know, I just I can't stand seeing things go downhill. If you could have the vision in your mind that I see of this world as it was very first created, and to where it is now, and to where it's going in the future, you would be disheartened. You'd be concerned. It's like watching one of these masterpieces of artwork, beauty that you see in the museums that people have done in history, you know. And then over time, you know, it builds up a little bit of dust, and if you don't take care of it, then it starts to deteriorate to the point where now it's all cracked and pitted and faded away. And nobody wants to go up into a museum and burn down all the artwork and all the history of man. Nobody wants to trash that beauty. I mean, it has a value to it, you know. Some of the pictures in the museums are millions of dollars. You know, monetary wise, the value of them are amazing, but the fact that they can never be created again makes that so much more valuable. You know, the earth is a one of a kind. Not to say that there possibly couldn't be other beautiful earths out there in this world, and hopefully they were better caretakers than we were. But to me, it has a more than a monetary value. It has a I can't think of the word I'm looking for. It's irreplaceable. And to see the deterioration as it's occurring, and knowing that the only ones out here who can actually do the dusting off and keep it up kept is we, the people out here, all the people of the world, knowing that we're the only ones that can do this, and seeing that you can't get enough people motivated to take care of things, to take care of nature. There's a lot of people out there that go out during oil spills and stuff, and they'll pick up birds and they'll wash them off and then take care of them and nurse them back to health, and then they'll put them back out into nature. And that's the kind of love that a lot of people overlook. They don't realize that had it not been for those individuals that stepped outside the box, stepped outside norm, and you know, it's just a bird. Why should I even worry? Had it not been for them, generations of birds wouldn't have made it. There wouldn't be baby birds, and that bloodline of that particular bird would cease to exist. So for those folks out there that step outside the box to look at nature and love nature and try to work in harmony and protect nature, my hat's off to them and my heart goes out to them. There's some folks out there, Paul Watts and Whale Wars, regardless of whatever you think about what they do or how they do it or their method of going about it, they're out there proactive. They're out there on the seas in some pretty rough places, risking their lives to try to slow down the whaling, you know, to stop the whaling out there, because they see a need for the future, that these whales are being killed off at an alarming rate. And dolphins and other things that they're out there trying to protect. You know, those folks out there, they could die at any moment. You know, this ship could sink. Nobody could be close enough to come to their rescue, but they know that. And yet they're out there doing that. in your own backyard, you know, you might look down into your local stream and there may be an old tire and an old washing machine down in there, and you know, eventually the compressor in the bottom of an old refrigerator will deteriorate and dump the oils out of that down into that stream and damage it for a long time to come. You could be the one that went down there and picked that thing up and took it to a proper recycling plant or something like that, and in your mind it may not seem like that big a deal because you have to have your neighbor doing it as well. And if that's the mindset that everybody's got, then we'll just watch as the trash piles up. I've seen incidents where there's a full house of people and everybody's watching TV and doing their own thing, and trash is piling up all over the house, and pretty soon the house is such a mess it's not comfortable anymore. Well, I'm afraid that our world out here is going to become not comfortable anymore. I'm afraid that the people of this earth are not going to be pleased with the future generation and how this world it looks. You know, there are some nations out there where people are in such fear of diseases and stuff that they wander around every day, all day, because of toxic fumes in the air or possibilities of diseases. They walk around with masks on their face. Little paper mask filters. If you have to filter out the air that you breathe, then it should be a warning sign that something isn't right with nature. Going back to seeing this world the very first day of creation, and to think about how beautiful that was. And then over time, and the dust piled up, and things just kind of went awry, and mankind just did their own thing, and just instead of working with nature, working against nature. You see the world today the way that you see it, and in your mind, that's the way it has always been. If you look at that dent in the side of your car, or that siding falling off the side of your house, that's not the way it was always been. That's not the way it was when it was brand new. But over the years, it didn't get maintained. It didn't get taken care of. So the world you see today isn't the world that we as humans have been given, which in my mind was an amazing gift. We got a lot of things out there in this world going on, some of which can't be verified because you just can't really trust the news or people out there telling stories, you know, doomsday scenarios of epic proportions, things going on. You never know what's what. In a digital age that we live in, you can only go by word of mouth and what you hear that you can trust the information being given to you. But one thing we all can agree on, that you can look around in your local communities, in your local environment, and you can see for your own two eyes the state of your home. And maybe you can gather up a crew or somebody, to people in the neighborhood of like minds that want to go around and just try to clean the place up. You know, what is it exactly that I'm saying to you? What is it exactly that I'm trying to point out, and using all this references to the beginning of the world? What I'm trying to point out is that the task seems so incredibly overwhelming to do what is needed to be done to make this world shine again, and to make humanity shine. You know, my book of faith talks about the first two people on this world who were without sin, and they must have been some really wondrous folks. They didn't know good, they didn't know evil, they just knew, you know, they lived in love and lived in harmony. Everything was just wonderful. And to imagine another world like that 7 billion people on this planet living in the Garden of Eden. Nobody wanting for nothing. Nobody homeless. Nobody sick. Nobody sad. That's a big dream. But that's the one I hold dear to my heart. That's the one that I hold on to as the hope for the future of humanity, because I've seen things. I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to see, and it breaks my heart to see and know the things that I know and the things that I see. It's not beyond hope. As far as I'm concerned, until the planet is completely destroyed, until all that is normal is upside down and there's no hope or no way to move it back forward, then I'll continue to hold on to the dream. I'll be the last man standing in the midst of the apocalypse, shouting, "Can't we all just get along? Common sense," or whatever. I look out into this world and I see the world as it could be, as it should be. I don't see the world the same way that people out there see the world. They compartmentalize themselves into these little bubbles that is their own little piece of heaven, their own little piece of the pie. And in the midst of all this, they overlook one another. They overlook the importance of what they have before them. You know, if you can look into a child's face and want to leave them behind a destructed world, then in my mind, you haven't got a soul, you haven't got a heart. I think that if you could only see for a brief instance what I've seen, I think that you would be so motivated that you would get out there and you would be a part of this world for good instead of what we see going on today. The little things that you argue with your friends and your family about, they don't matter. You know, I got a bigger piece of cake, so you're mad at me. Well, brothers or sisters, I would gladly trade you for the smaller piece of cake, because I'm so blessed to just even have a piece of cake.
Yeah, it was old Marvin Gaye's father that shot him over the last leg of turkey. I bet afterward it didn't matter to him near as much.
No, and that's
people getting a divorce arguing over toothpicks and toilet paper when it was all about how they made each other feel.
Yeah, and the world has become a centralized around the individual world. It's not, you know, and I don't speak of or for anyone else other than myself, but I talk about how there are a lot of good people out there. There are a lot of people who are not selfish and they think about others before they think about themselves. But not the other side of the spectrum are those folks out there who've lost their way as far as humanity goes. You know, and they argue over the things that are that small. And if it brings somebody to such anger that they would take another individual's life over something that simple, can you understand why it is that this whole thing just doesn't make any sense to me?
It makes a lot of sense. So what do you got to be thankful for today, on this special day?
Well, today I've got to be thankful for my family. You know, I walked through the house early this morning to get my coffee and seen one of my daughters sleeping. I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful she's got a bed to lay in and she can be there in safety and just to enjoy her life the best that she can with what she's got to work with. And I feel honored to be able to provide for my family and my daughters with a roof over their head and food and safety. So in my personal life, there's so much that I've been blessed with. I'm so lucky to be me as far as those things go. there's other folks out there in this world that are in need that don't have what I have. And in some part of my mind and some part of my heart, I feel sadness because I don't want anybody out there to not be as least as well off as I am. If I had a trillion dollars and I could go around and I could make sure that everybody was provided for, that's what I would do. You know, you could stand on a mountain of gold and you can own that mountain of gold and you can try to fend off all the people out there at the bottom trying to run around and pull out little coins out of that mountain of gold. But you can't move that mountain of gold anywhere. You can't take it with you. But you could pick away at that mountain of gold and you could do so much good in this world. You could do something that is so much more valuable, so much more profound than being the richest man on the planet, you know? What glory does the richest man on the planet have? What good has the richest man on the planet done for all of humanity? You know, with all that mountain of gold underneath his feet, he's still no better than any other man or woman on this planet. He's still no better. He's still just a man. And if this mountain of gold under there makes him feel like the king, like the you know, I'm better than anybody out there in the world, I feel bad for that man. Because he could do so much. Could you imagine the glory of helping your brothers and sisters on a daily basis until the very last coin was gone? Could you imagine how much love that the world would have for you to sit there and witness a man standing on a mountain of gold miles high, and the only thing that he wanted to do with his life and his fortune was to go out there and benefit somebody else? And they watched as this man slowly picked away at this mountain and fed everyone, fed the hungry, sheltered the homeless, did everything that he could until finally he was nothing more than in rags. Do you think that anybody in this world would allow that man to starve after that point, after seeing all the things that he did, the selflessness that he would take his entire fortune and put it out there to the world? He could have been king, he could have stayed king, he could have been the most powerful individual on the planet, but what he did with all of his gold was to bring glory to his brothers and sisters out there in the world, to show the world out there what true love meant. True love is ultimate sacrifice, such as what we talk about in our book of faith, of Jesus Christ sacrificing himself for all of mankind to build that bridge back to God. And even if you're a non-believer, you think about the goodness of what it means to actually do for others. You know, it's wonderful to have people do for you. But it's even more wonderful to do for others and see that smile on their face, or to see that little child with a warm coat on his back.
Oh, yeah.
You see where I'm coming from, brother?
Yeah. I had a couple other thoughts running through my brain.
Well, spit them out.
Well, we had a great hope sitting out there. Sounded like a beautiful thing at first. He just forgot to say one thing. Bring your diapers, before he said it's time for change. Basically, we weren't prepared because we didn't understand what he meant by it's time for change. You look out there, we got a president who has signed more executive orders that are basically against the Constitution of the United States of America than all the presidents before. And I found out a few days ago he signed another one.
He's now, chipping away.
That, I'll get to that in just a second. It seems like the greedy, once they get a foothold, it's kind of like voodoo. It doesn't affect you until they get a fingernail into your mind, and that way they can just kind of weasel their hand in all the way and mess it all up. Satan roams around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Well, power is a drug, man.
And oh, yeah. But the point is, seeking whom he may devour.
Yeah.
Our silence is they're okay. And so, you know, we're supposed to have a president of the United States who is, what, a citizen for 25 years?
They have to be a natural born, according to the Constitution. They have to both parents be citizens.
What did we have before that? We had a war with what? The Muslim religion. I'm not going to get off on the Muslims, but here we got our president who is a Muslim, not a citizen. And he's signing executive orders one after another against the Constitution of the United States. And basically, you have... You say you see a UFO and they're going to tell you it's swamp gas. They're going to tell you that it's a weather balloon. So we got all these weather balloons sitting in the chairs in Washington up there expelling swamp gas at us. Excretory, analytic breezes of sweetness. Telling us that this is the reason. The reason why they told us it was swamp gas and weather balloons was why? Because they knew that we would not believe what they were telling us, but in order to get away with something, they must have a reason and claim and stick to it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. They must have a reason that if they talk about it, they can't let the real reason slip out by accident. So they used weather balloons and swamp gas, because they can talk about weather balloons all day and swamp gas and not accidentally stumble and say, because it's such a closely related subject, and just accidentally say what the real problem is. So we get out here, and now the executive mandate, or the executive order signed and put out by our illegal president, as I put it, in my opinion, I'll say that just for the radio, that all these cryptocurrencies out here, the digital currencies, can be frozen and taken by the government without warning for an indefinite period of time, because they might be funding terroristic deals. Wait a minute. This is coming from the terrorists.
that's what I was getting ready to say.
But what I want to roll this over into is I am thankful that God gave us foresight and discerning of spirits, that we would have the knowledge of what is actually going on, that the wool will not be pulled over our eyes. And to me, in a day like today, where things are going crazy, we see all these stupid, doggone reasons. And we know that this is not the reason. You see, they had another spill in the Gulf. I guess they needed to finish the job. We've had the power, we've had the technology and the know-how how to stop Fukushima. But no, we can spend the money. They say, well, we can't afford to sit there and do it that way. That would cost too much, but we've spent more in efforts to clean up what is already put out and trying to catch it on the way out rather than stop it at the source. If your pot is boiling over, it doesn't mean press the lid down tighter. It means turn the heat off. It means get it off the heat. Because that little electric burner is going to hold some heat and it's going to keep going. If you got a fire, you don't sit there and leave the fire going, the main source of the fire going, and try to put water on top of the house to keep the rest of it from burning. You go in and you put out the source of the fire.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What would you do if you knew that there was this terrible, terrible storm coming, what would you do personally for you and your family and your friends?
If it was an actual storm, if I knew it was going to have tornadoes, I'd tell them to open the windows so the house don't explode. If it's a regular storm, I'd say, like a hurricane, I'd say, let's put some boards on your windows there and make sure that they don't break.
But the key to your statement is that you would prepare not just yourself, but your family mentally, emotionally, and physically for everything, all
yeah,
the possibilities.
Fill up the 5-gallon jugs. Let's get some food because things might get a little crazy here. Let's get a little gas so that we can keep the food from going bad. Let's store up the food. Let's do what we can. Let's try to help each other get prepared for it. And basically, I'd probably tell them if there's a reason, like the storms that you're probably talking about, if there's a reason, then we should go to the source and get it straight there.
Let me ask you another question. Now, if you knew that this storm was going and you was going to prepare your family, but you knew that you didn't have enough to take care of, let's say, your neighbors that are a mile away, you know, and those that are farther apart out than that, and or you didn't trust their reactions to certain things, would you tell everyone that around you that there was this terrible storm coming?
Yeah, that they might prepare.
Well,
to each his own. I mean, try to forewarned, you know, is protected. But if they don't do anything about it, there's nothing I can do.
It touches on a bit of conspiracy, but if watching is learning and seeing what's going on out there in the world is and paying attention to what the rich and the elite are doing is an indication of anything. These folks have spent years and thousands and trillions and millions of dollars on building underground complexes and preparing themselves while at the same time telling you, you know, all is well, don't worry, things are going to be just fine, you know, the government's got your back and so on and so forth.
Yeah, we got you in our pocket, don't worry.
But to me... the evil comes from, you know, if you have knowledge of something that's coming around, you could prepare your people of your countries in such a form that everybody could peacefully get everything done and everything they needed without any kind of problems, such as somebody leaks something at the very last minute that, hey, look, in a couple of days, this terrible event's going to happen, and everybody panics and starts robbing each other and total chaos. But instead, you chose to, in order for continuity of government, you chose to start beginning to run drills and preparing your militaries and your local infrastructures for, you know, control, as opposed to trying to get folks to begin to prepare for themselves to the best of their ability. The tornado's coming. We know this for a fact. It's going to be here. Everybody help each other build yourself a storm shelter and stock up on some food because this could be a long, long haul. Instead of doing it in that manner, you get your military might to go out there and practice for just such an emergency. And in the meantime, you have your crews building and storing and stocking up things necessary for your long-term survival so that after this hypothetical event, you come out and you're still in charge. This is where we find ourselves in society, and this is where the evil lays in wait for all of humanity. If you look...
I gotta stop you here. Because I see a lot of people talking about the bug out bags, and I've seen over in where they had Fukushima, they got these plastic deals, and you're supposed to duct tape them up and seal them all up and everything, and that's supposed to protect you from the radiation. We got a nuke bomb go off. People got these storm shelters, and they're going to survive there. I'm telling you, 3 to 4 days at the most, will you be able to live? Even if you've got a one of them, not storage containers, but shipping containers, man, those things are like, I mean, that those things ain't made of tin. They're made of some steel, and they are heavy. And people are burying those and making them underground bunkers. I'll tell you what, if you don't bury that thing at least 10 feet deep, 3 to 4 days. So you think you're going to bury it down there maybe 4 or 5 feet, you know, and cover it up and have a way to get in there, and it's supposed to take care of you. I'm sorry, it's not going to do it. Bug out? Oh yeah, make sure you got zero shelter other than a piece of fabric for tent. It's not going to do you any good. And what are you going to do with your little canned goods that you think, oh, well, they're safe, they're covered with metal? Well, you know what? You better bury them suckers real deep, too.
The point that I was trying to get to,
I'm sorry,
is that there, in our Book of Faith, there's a phrase that talks about he who would seek to save them lives, so save their own lives, shall surely lose it. You know, I don't know that I could spend 10 years or more up underneath the bunker knowing that there were other people out there that I couldn't help if I had the possibility to help them. And so for all these government officials or global elite that have a bug out plan or whatever in case of, you know, doomsday / World War III or whatever, it takes a pretty heartless individual to keep a secret.
Yeah.
To keep a secret of such magnitude that you would know going in that there are millions that wouldn't make it. Wouldn't see how any one of those could live with themselves outside of sheer selfishness, knowing that they had the opportunity to try to warn other folks that this event would occur. And chose not to, so that they could be, and their families could be safe.
They won't, and they won't live either.
Well,
I mean, the secret here, man. You're dealing. You know, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Yeah. A house divided against itself cannot stand. They put out these rules. They put it in stone, and they erected it, and they called it the Georgia Guidestones. 500 million. Exactly. Well, let's put it out. We've got 8 billion people out here. Billion people. You know what? You know what that tells me? You've got more chance of winning the lottery than to survive under their plan. So here we got these people that think they've been pulled in and cuddled by the elite, and yeah, you're going to survive, you're all right, just keep on promoting and doing what we tell you, and all the way up until the time when they get up there and they say, we're having a great celebration out here, and they pull the machine guns out and blow them all away, and they go, what? So that, you know,
well, here's the key of the whole deal. There are a couple communities in this world that they want all their people to be all right. They want all their people to be safe, and they go out of their way to ensure that everyone is taken care of, and there are no winners and losers when it comes down to who gets on the ark and who doesn't get on the ark. There's no lottery, there's no ifs, ands, or buts, because everybody in their community is valuable. Now, if society was to look at one another as valuable as their own family members, their own personal circle, if they was to look at each and every person out there as true value, true worth, that you can't do without. This world would be so much better off, because if things were going bad and you knew that things were going to go bad, outside of a war, maybe just some sort of cataclysmic calamity such as a big rock from space, you know. There's a deal out there talking about September 24th of 2015, we're supposed to get hit by a mile-wide asteroid. Now, if you knew that was the case, then you should try to save every man, woman, and child on this planet by whatever means necessary. There's more than enough resources, there's more than enough money to ensure that they at least have a chance. But some individual out there, or some group of individuals, put down on some stones, they wrote it in stone, that 500 million people is what the population, perfect population, would be out of 7 billion people. So the ends in their mind would justify the means, that if there was a massive calamity or World War III, that it's okay, because that's collateral damage. It's all for the betterment of mankind. It will bring humanity into a better place where we can control this deal and everything. But they just proclaim themselves to be gods. They just chose somebody's life to go and somebody's life to keep. They're is the true evil of this world, that if you're 7 billion people strong, then you stay 7 billion people strong. You give everybody an opportunity to survive instead of trying to choose who gets to live and who gets to die, who is better than the next guy. When you have a group of individuals with that much power and that much resource, who control the militaries of the world, that could say, oh, well, look, this place over here, you know, they got a lot of resources, we could use them resources, let's send some folks in there to start a war, and we can make some money off of all the medical supplies, we can make some money off the bullets and the bombs and everything, and they are...
their fault, so they are not to blame.
Ravaging this land. Under the guise of freedom, under the guise of peace. Peace never came from the end of a barrel of a gun. Peace never came from the sword. In our book of faith, it talks about if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. And these folks, they don't seem to care. They seem to believe themselves to be untouchable. But even in them deep bunkers that they have, if there was indeed a mile-wide asteroid going to hit the Earth on that date, they wouldn't live. And if they were managed to survive long enough, the initial impact, the devastation that would occur underground, above ground, would be beyond all belief. And they think that down there in their little rabbit holes, you know, there's a story in the book that talks about the first time that the world was destroyed, that the elite and the kings of the world hid themselves in mountains away from the wrath of God.
Dear, but no mountain or island shall be left in its place. I wonder if them stupid bunkers are earthquake-proof.
Well, they should be earthquake-proof.
I can see these bunnies, these so-called bunnies, getting trapped in their holes.
But they have to be flood-proof. They have to be able to self-contain air, water. The problem is,
could you see them getting trapped in there with one of their man-made diseases?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see it. What can go wrong will go wrong. If you think you got everything figured out, you better think again. Because
if you burned your money honestly, that money will bless you. You've stolen your money, I'm sure, karma. And the events of life will sit there and destroy you.
Well, think about the attempt. The attempt, at least, to save every man, woman, and child on this planet in just such an emergency. that things were going. You, instead of trying to pick winners and losers, instead of trying to pick who gets to live, who's smart enough to live, and who you want gone off the planet, instead of doing that, you take all the resources of all of humanity and you come on the air calmly and you say, look, people, we've got a serious problem that we really seriously need to address, and we need to get together as a world in order for us to survive through this event. We need to make sure that everybody's taken care of. We need to band together all of our resources to save as many of as much of humanity, because every single living soul on this planet is so valuable, more than you can possibly imagine.
Yeah.
You know, during wars, you got
lest
people
these
out there,
days be shortened, there shall be no flesh shall be spared.
You got people out there.
I think all them seeds and stuff, I think those will survive. But after it's all over with, I believe maybe the mountain shall burst forth and throw the seeds all over the place again.
Well, the whole thing is the blight on humanity after survival. Let's say hypothetically that individuals would survive such a catastrophic incident. The blight on humanity was going back, and the ends justify the means. You would have all that blood of all of humanity on your soul for eternity for doing what you did. Sure, you survived. You survived with the knowledge that other people weren't going to survive, and that you did absolutely nothing to help them out. You did nothing to try to benefit them in any way, to at least, at the very least, comfort them to the very end. You didn't use your true bit of humanity, the best part of humans, the love portion, and give selfless to the world. Instead, you chose to protect yourself and let others die so that you could survive. Therein lies the future of humanity on that side of those who would survive that deal. Now, if it was that you tried everything you could, but you just couldn't save people, then you could stand on that moral high ground on the other side saying, you know, I'm saddened in the heart and I'm glad that I survived, but I did all that I could. You would know that you did all you could. And to me, that would be the true humanity, you know. Not everybody survives a war. People rush in, they try to save their friends, and they don't always succeed. But they try.
So you're saying it's not saving humankind. It's saving humanity.
Yeah, it's what we should have been all along, the caretakers of one another, the friends, the servants to one another. Even with 7 billion people, my firm belief is we've got more, we could probably sustain 2 or 3 times the population that we have now. And I want to go on a big old argument over exponential growth and this and that. All the, you know, nature's in charge, and if we get too full, then nature will take care of things and level things back out. Nature always balances itself back. But that's neither here nor there. The system was set up that if we work together, that we would have all of our needs met. But the problem is, you know, one man in the world is homeless and in rags and has a starving belly, while the rich man is fat and bloated and you know, lazy and has everything he needs handed to him hand over fist. Did he need that much food to survive? No. But somebody out there needed something. And humanity, humans haven't got it. They haven't figured this out yet. That when you take care of somebody else, you take care of yourself. We are so connected that it's just mind-boggling. And we have such a wonderful opportunity to create the best world ever. And I'm not talking about under some one world government or some one world religion. I'm talking underneath the idea that if everybody could do the right thing, just do it. This world, we wouldn't be talking about the bad things that are. We wouldn't be talking about war over oils and stuff. There's such brilliance out there. There's so many wonderful individuals with such talent that these folks could solve any problem that existed in our world today. We've been so overwhelmingly blessed, but yet we're blinded by it. We don't see. We have classes. We have the poor, the middle class, the wealthy, and the super wealthy, and we have kings and servants and generals and all that kind of stuff. And all of this, what has all of humanity since the dawn of time and the initial expulsion from the Garden of Eden, what has it gotten for man? It's gotten wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famine and pestilence and everything that's read about in that book right there. And nobody to this point, with the exception of a few of the majority, have figured this out. You know, I can't do nothing about it because I'm only one person. And that's where the wrong. That one person could make a huge difference in just their local community alone. That one person could send the positive ripple across the entire globe. Look what we've done here on the Knights of the Round Table and Mad Science and all the different shows that's on all these different alternative media networks. We pointed out positive ideas for folks. We pointed out solutions to problems. And solutions are only as good as those willing to carry those solutions into reality. These individuals out here that do what they do because they feel the need, the necessity to make this world better, should be the majority, should be the people of the world who look out and they see, look, you're polluting our waters. You're polluting our air. We got to wear a mask on our face. We got to have a whole pile of pills on our table in order to be healthy. And here we are, as humans, we comply with the system that is literally destroying the planet that we live on. It's literally destroying and killing off the people that we love. We comply with it because we keep paying it. We keep feeding that beast. And when I talk about it, sounds impossible. It sounds so overwhelming, but it's not. And it never was. We were given a choice. We got a choice whether to pick up a sword or not pick up a sword. Pick up a gun or not pick up a gun. We've always had a choice. Since the day we were born, we had a choice. You know, somebody comes walking in your house and you're forced. Beyond everything, you're forced to defend yourself, and in the process, you take a life. That's a sad thing, man.
Friend comes to your door for food. What do? Let him in so he can steal your food?
Well, you know what?
Take your life, or do you sit there and keep him outside the door? And
I would let him in.
Not let him in so you can protect your food and family.
I would let him steal my food. I'd let him in. I'd let him steal my food, you know. And I'd probably lose my life. I'd probably die. But when I stand before judgment, I will know that I didn't send somebody away in hunger, you know. And if in the book it says, those who would attempt to save their life would surely lose it. You understand what I'm trying to say to you, Muddy? I know it sounds...
He makes a way where there seems to be no way out. Exactly what it means, yep.
We got amazing potential as humans. We have the power to defeat evil. Literally. We are divine creations of a divine creator. We were made in our creator's image. All those different religions out there that people scoff at, they all talk about the same thing. They all talk about goodness. They all talk about love. They just talk about it as who's right and who's wrong. you know, if you laid down all the difference of opinion and you said, okay, look, we got this bad calamity coming around. Everybody pray hard to who you believe to be God. Let's work together. Let's build protection for one another. Let's make sure that everybody has food and everybody has everything that they need. That is humanity. That is our true power, that you love one another regardless of your faults. When you go to get married and you pick the one you love and the one you're going to be with for the rest of your life, it says till death do us part, for better or for worse. And it says, let what God brung together, that no man tear apart. And that love that you would have in your marriage, that through the worst times, that you take and you do the things for one another, even if it's painful to yourself, you protect your loved one, and you go through this and you struggle together. That's what a marriage is. That's what humanity could be to one another. Instead, if you don't agree with somebody, instead of trying to bring the sword upon them, you bring love upon them and you help guide them towards the right direction as opposed to the wrong direction. You lead by example. This is what we've been preaching forever and a day. It's not beyond possibilities, but it would take every man, woman, and child on this planet to lay down their weapons of war, to lay down their hatred and their disrespect for one another, and understand that the survival of humanity rests upon everybody coming together, not under a one-world government, not under a one-world religion, but for the survival and the benefit of all humanity. If you was to ever reach a true enlightenment of what this whole entire mess was all about, it's a school, it's a lesson, it's a teaching event to put you to the best of the best. You understand what I'm trying to say here? I'm trying to point out that the true ultimate enlightenment means that you're not standing on a pile of gold, because it's not going to do you no good. It's not real anyway.
What is the real gold?
The real gold is...
Let me tell you what the real
gold
is. Yeah, Bubba, when you walked by that bedroom and you looked at your daughter or your granddaughter and you see her laying there and you just want to hug her, that's your real gold. When you lay down next to your wife, that's the real gold. Reach out, grasp it, hold on to it. That's the real gold.
Your family, your friends, those are what make the world go around. Without your family and your friends, you're just simply alone. You just simply exist. There's no purpose. You know, I think about a world without struggle and without strife and wars and rumors of wars and all that, without excitement, you know. Maybe this would be a dull planet, you know. Maybe because, you know, I'm always saying, can't we all just get along, and everybody laughs and they say, no, it ain't no fun, you know.
Why can't we be friends?
Yeah. How are you personally ever going to reach true enlightenment, true knowledge of what, you know? Everybody would love to be in heaven. Everybody would. Nobody wants to go through hell, except some sicko that's into hurt me, beat me, make me feel cheap kind of stuff. But, you know, that's their bag,
right?
You know, if that's their heaven, then so be it. All I'm saying is, nobody wants to go through the worst. But if we go through the worst together, then what we do is we make it less painful than it would have been if we went through it alone. We don't need to blow up the planet. We don't need to kill one another. We don't have an energy crisis. What we've got is a humanity crisis and a lack thereof. What we've got is lack for love for our neighbor. Some folks don't even know their neighbor. And some folks would call the law on their neighbor. Some folks just, instead of trying to reach a hand out and lift somebody up, they're trying to just protect themselves. I don't like the way that individual looks. I am not having nothing to do with them. Yeah, just like Scottish Sovereigns, it's complete madness. That's exactly what it is. It's complete madness. It's the complete lack of common sense. And every time we watch the news and the TVs and we see all these shows of death and destruction and evil just glorifies talking nasty to one another. Evil glorifies sexual situations. Evil glorifies the excitement of the chase, the shootout between the cops and the robbers and death and destruction. And humanity sits around and eats it up.
Yeah.
It's sad. You know, I remember a time whenever I was younger that I'd watch a monster movie or a bad movie, you know, or something like that, and it wouldn't, it was just, you know, it's not real. It's just a movie kind of mentality. It's not real, it's just a video game kind of mentality. And in your mind and in your soul, what kind of damage is that really doing? What kind of person is that making you for agreeing enough, at the very least, to even buy into it, to watch it, to pay for a movie ticket, to go watch somebody die? The true meaning of humanity has been so missed. We overshot it, you know. The rich man has the power to rain fire from the sky. The rich man has the power to choose who lives and who dies. They call it collateral damage. The ends justify the means. But in order for humanity to go where we could actually go if we chose to do so, then it would take people to understand that there is no rich, there is no poor, there is nothing but helping one another. And that's a lot to ask.
Yeah.
You know? But regardless, nobody out there can deny that if everything was used the way that it could be used, that we could literally bring about heaven on earth. We could do it. Will we do it? Well, if history is any indication of will we do it, then chances are no. Otherwise, you wouldn't have heard terminologies like World War I, World War II, World War III, the Korean War, Vietnam War, so on and so forth. You wouldn't hear about that stuff because after the first war and all the death and destruction, then you wouldn't want to repeat that. But mankind, for their own greed, for their own selfish needs and political and power, you know, there's no reason for there to be a king if everybody can get along. You see what I'm saying? And I know it's all going to go back down. It's all going to boil back down to the evils of man.
Well, the presidency, the president is supposed to serve a term. The king serves his people. Ruler or dictator, just he rules over the people like he's something. So it's a different deal. When you, I find it kind of crazy. If you look at the words, I don't care what language, whatever. You look at the words that are actually written. It's meant to be sounds, and the intricacy of what has been written blows my mind. When the abomination of desolation sits on the throne.
Yeah, it's ironic, isn't it?
Let no man go home for anything, but let him run for the mountains. It means, you know, and I look at the wisdom of all of this. It's, here they're building up the throne and the doggone sacrificial altars and everything of the temple in Jerusalem. Anything that can be defiled will be defiled, and it's put and when he sits on the throne, that means he's supposed to be ruler of the world, not king, ruler of the world. And let's go a little bit farther. Let no man go home to get anything. What's the first thing most people are going to want to get? They're going to want their cell phone. And they want you to go home and they want you to get addicted to being connected so that they can track you.
Once again, that's all back to power. That's all back to power. Those, you know, there's a...
Unless these days be shortened, no flesh will be spared. We're not supposed to lay down, and we are not supposed to be... we are not to sacrifice ourselves.
There's a deal.
In other words, killing each other. We're not supposed to sacrifice ourselves to open up more room.
There's a video out there called The Dots. I've talked about this video before.
The
Dots.
The Dots.
Yeah, and you have a few little dots telling all the dots in the world what to do, and they're doing whatever they want, and the other ones just follow them around and let them take control of everything. It's so ironic that something as simple as this little video called The Dots, it just explains all of mankind in a nutshell, because there's 7 billion people on the planet. The majority of those 7 billion people are not leaders of any country. They're not in any political office. They're not in any police or anything. You know, they're just people. They're just the average Joe going to and from work just trying to survive. They're the folks. They are the base of the pyramid of life. They are what holds that capstone at the tip top. And so if people could understand that they're holding up the same beast that they're fighting against, they're literally holding it up in air. And everybody looked over at each other and bumped their neighbor and said, look, on the count of three, you guys run to the north, you guys run to the south, you guys run to the east, and you guys run to the west, and let's dump this beast right on its butt. All right? Because we're fed up. And so if all of humanity, the people who matter is we the people, because we get it. If we literally run out from underneath that beast and just let it slam to the ground, then we can come in there and we can just have a barbecue with that beast. You know, what's that show? The Grinch Who Stole Christmas? Roast beef is what they were having.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Yeah. But, you know, we got to get the word out. We got to tell the world that there is something better than what we see. And these guys at the top who proclaim to be leaders and presidents and such, their track record has already told on them. You know, who cares about the Illuminati? Who cares about the Freemason? Who cares about all these different secret organizations and spy versus spy, what they're doing? You know that they're doing this stuff, so take them out of the office. You don't got to kill them. Just stop supporting them. Stop feeding their companies. Stop feeding their corporations. Stop feeding their system that they are using to control you. They are using to destroy your environments, your families, your countries. And everybody's at the same point. I can't stop paying the IRS because they'll throw me in jail. Well, maybe they will. Maybe they'll throw you in jail. But if your neighbor has any kind of decency whatsoever, he'll stop paying his too. They'll throw him in jail. Pretty soon they'll have half the town in jail. Then they'll have half the state in jail. By that time it's getting so crowded we can't do much about this deal. Now you got the whole entire country in jail. The beast can't buy
weapons.
They can't
make any money because ain't nobody.
Because everybody's in jail.
Right. I think that's what the FEMA camps are supposed to be for. they can pay you 25 cents a day for your work.
When they walk you over to the FEMA camp, put them in, lock them up, and go back home. Say, yes, your camp, brother. I got things to do.
Yeah, you got one country over here says, go get them, boys. Another country over here says, go get them, boys, so they can protect their It's a house divided against itself.
That's right.
Tire and roll, but they fight and squander over the things that they have, but they use us to do their fighting. And, you know, it's like I said before, put them all in a football stadium. Put them all down there on the football field. We'll eat popcorns and hot dogs and caviar and lobster bisque and, you know, and let them fight it all out. And then whoever's left standing is the winner. And we cheer them and say, okay, back in your cell.
Scotty Sovereign said, we're already in jail. We just can't see the bars. And it's true. We are.
Yeah, try to go to another country.
Yeah, every country out there is pretty much in the same deal. Some of them's got it better than others, you know, like here.
Well, then you're thinking you're free. You're not.
It's all a grand illusion, the hidden grand illusion, man. And the way around...
If I look at it this way, man, look, I don't know I don't know children from around the world. The children don't know me from around the world. How could they hate me? How can my children hate your children? Your children can't hate my children. You don't know each other. But, you know, we don't have anything to protect. We're not worried about it. Let's put it that way. We're not worried about each other. We're worried about the ones that have something to protect, that keep us, that keep themselves in power over us. That's the only thing that they have. They're worried about, are they going to lose control by people taking over us?
Well, their biggest...
We will still live pretty much the same. It doesn't really matter.
Their biggest means of control has always been fear. If they can keep you afraid of stuff, they can sell you stuff. If they can keep you propagandized, they can get you to believe and do things that you normally wouldn't do. How many soldiers would go to war if they knew that they were going over there just to fight for oil? Seriously, how many soldiers would pick up an arm and go over there and kill a foreign man if they knew that the only purpose they were going there was to get control of somebody else's resources and make some fat cat some money?
Yeah.
They come under the guise that they were fighting for freedom and justice and patriotism and the democracy. Well, people of the world, understand this. The United States of America has never, ever, ever been a democracy. We were, according to the lie told to us, the initial design of this country, we were a representative republic. We would send our representatives to go out and represent us. No, it didn't go over that way because we wouldn't even have needed representation if we didn't have some sort of threat of a foreign nation or our own nation getting corrupt enough to do us wrong.
Yeah.
But all of humanity, they just don't get it. You know, the Ten Commandments, the Golden Rules, whatever you want to call them, thou shalt not kill. Pretty wise words. You know, you kill somebody and somebody wants to kill you. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. When two people go into a duel, one person comes out. Is this the ultimate enlightenment, to kill somebody? Is this it? Is this all this that we've done and all this that we've endured throughout the humanity? Is this as far as we get? Is this as far enlightened as we will become, that we are still warring among nations and we are still fighting over resources? You know, if you put a birthday cake down on the table and you put a whole 100 kids in that room with that birthday cake and you tell them, you guys enjoy this birthday cake and share it amongst one another. And then when you leave that room, those kids will go there and they will look at that birthday cake and they'll start to discuss what we can do with this birthday cake to make sure that everybody gets one. Well, then the greedy one is going to say, well, I want a big piece. And then the other one's going to be complaining because he got a bigger piece than I, and then so on and so forth until it comes down and everybody just rips that birthday cake, and now you got cake everywhere and somebody licking cake off their own face or whatever. That is where we're at as humans. Where we could be as humans is even if everyone only got a crumb. At least everyone got. You see what I'm saying?
Bangarang, food fight, whee!
Yeah. Well, if you only got one cake and you tear it up, then you ain't got nothing. And that's what we're doing with this world. We had been given something so amazing, and what we did with it was we allowed our so-called representatives to go out amongst the nations in war.
I think it's more like they say, this is your birthday cake. This is your celebration. This belongs to you. Watch us eat it, and we'll make sure you get your share. That quarter, everybody gets a bite.
Well, that would be the ultimate enlightenment, that not one single soul goes hungry. That not one single soul goes without a roof over their head. Because there's enough money, there's enough resources on this planet, and we've wasted more in just wars alone. Just one single episode, you know, buying a bomber to go over and blow something up. It takes a lot of money from point A to point B to get the bomb over there and drop it and wipe somebody into the Stone Age. That
they don't
money,
have to worry about it. They ain't paying for it. We are.
All the money. And that's the key right there. Hold that thought. That's really important. Hold that thought. That entire structure of the industrial military complex could literally feed and house and clothe everything out there.
And we do have the means to feed everybody.
And the money that we give to our governments of the world being squandered away for such a deal is exactly what I've been talking about. We are literally feeding the beast that is eating humanity alive. We are the base of the pyramid that holds the Illuminati or the capstone or the Freemasons or the secret societies and governments. We are the base that holds that capstone at the tip top. And until we realize that, until we stop feeding that beast, until we all run to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west, and let that beast land on its butt, we're going to continue to talk about this stuff. We're going to continue to talk about evil the way that it goes. You're going to continue to go to Walmart and buy your made-in-China or made-in-Indonesia stuff. Which you could. You could go there and buy that stuff. That would be wonderful if you knew that those individuals making that stuff weren't being tormented to do so. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Morning, Barry.
How you doing, morning, Barry? We're long-winded this morning.
Well, I know. I've been trying to get a word in edgewise, but it's kind of stuck with you two guys.
Oh, sorry. You just got to jump in there somehow.
Yeah, we brought him in here about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, I've just been sitting here listening in the background.
Well, what's your thoughts on the matter?
Well, I can't even begin to wrap my mind around the thoughts of what's going on in this world, man. It boggles my mind. I try not to spend more than a couple of hours a day dwelling on what's going on in this planet because it absolutely drives me nuts and it puts me into a state of what do we do? Well, you know, what we can do right now, she says, is what we're doing right now. It's all we can do at this point, I believe, is to share knowledge. Because knowledge starts the grassroots movements that, you know, make a difference in our world.
Yeah.
I'm saying that because I'm seeing it in my community now, where I've had the pleasure of meeting some people that are awake. And they are all of a sudden sharing links with people and looking people right in the face in their community and saying, hey, you've got to spend a half an hour watching this video. I've got three or four individuals in this community now that are just inspiring me guys to keep pushing my foot right to the metal because I'm seeing people in the community that all of a sudden go, hey, there's something very, very wrong with this whole situation. We're facing a monumental change, a challenge right now as the human race, and if the human race can't come together, which is going to be a monumental task, and address the issue as a human race, then we're going to lose the battle. And that being said, really have to look at the thousands of divisions that have been put into our society.
Well, let me ask you a question, Barry.
And how they've been brought to this point to this. Go ahead.
Let me ask you a hypothetical question. Let's say, hypothetically, that Barry was God. All right? Barry was the creator of all things out there. And he decided that he was going to put together humanity. He was going to build humans and put them down here on the earth and see what they could accomplish. What would be your ultimate hope that you could get humanity to realize? It, what would be your end goal?
I think to do that, we have to eliminate one. One of our natures as a human being is to be greedy. And greed, in my opinion, is the source of all evil. If that particular issue could be taken out of the human mindset, you would see the changes that we need to see.
Well, yeah, but see, here you got to give them free will.
That wasn't the way he created us. He gave us a free will. He set this up in a way that we have to make a choice in life in which direction we're going. He's also given the devil incredible. Lucifer, if you want to call him evil, whatever you want to call him, he has given him incredible power at this particular point in history. I read my book all the time, Julius, and it hits it on the nail, buddy, exactly how everything in our society we see is unfolding, how all the little pieces are coming together, and like I said, if these pieces, if things come together in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, I honestly believe that, you know, what we see right now happening in society is planned 50, 60, 100 years ago.
Yeah, but we know how it is. We know how it is. But the initial question is, you gave them free will. What would be your ultimate hope that you would get these folks to understand through all the trials and tribulations of everything that they would go through this learning process? What would be your ultimate hope for humanity?
I really don't know the answer to that one. Should you wait on and kind of?
Well, let me put a seed in your mind there. If I were God, which I'm not, but if I were God, my ultimate hope for humanity is that when I put them down here with all this right here, that they might fight, they might struggle, they might argue amongst each other, but they would come to a point in time when they would realize what the mistakes that they made and start forming, working together, and finally get to the point where a light bulb came on in their head and they realized what they had before them. And they did what was needed to make the whole system function in harmony and literally bring about heaven on earth that they could have done all along. That would be my ultimate hope.
Yeah, it was really all we have to do, guys. Is, I mean, all through history, sure, there's been wars all through history. Human race has always fought all through history. You can't go through a period of time where there hasn't been war. But the difference now and then is that we're dealing with issues on the planet like chemicals, atomic bombs.
Yeah.
And the planet, you know, I mean, my ultimate hope would be that none of this destructive elements brought into the planet were ever brought to the face of the earth. That we could go back and ensure the human race will always fight. There will always be wars in human race, but we don't see the destruction we see of our planet now.
Does there have to be wars? Does there have to be? Is there a point in time, like let's say the doggone rock falls from space and just smashes everything into bits, and everybody is like in trouble, they're dying, and in order to try to save the planet, we all literally, like in the movies, have to come together and work together. We're forced to work together. After that point, and they save humanity, do we go back to Warren? Probably.
Probably. Perfect. If these people that are going to war, the soldiers that are going over there fighting the battle, they really knew what was going on behind the scenes, that they're just being played like pawns, like everybody else on this planet. You'd see a major uprising against it, but they're so dumbwashed and brainwashed. brainwashed and manipulated by the system that a lot of them do see it, but a lot of them don't have.
If you raise your children to have an eagle eye and to have respect for one another, they will raise their children to do the same. And if people out there see that there is an alternative to being than to be just a total jerk in life, then incrementally the grassroots will kick in. You plant the seed for the future generations, and for, like you said earlier, we're doing the best that we can with what we've got to work with. We are planting the seeds, and hopefully that the future generations will expand that field and grow it to take care of everybody. What else do we have?
I'm going to reiterate on that she gave on everybody out there. I mean, if you take every opportunity you get to share knowledge or even get a light bulb open in somebody's brain, it really does send them on a journey of discovery. It has to, because if we sit really back and look at what we're leaving for our next generation, and what we see going on the planet right now, the unprecedented rates of die-off of animals, we see the ocean dying in front of our faces, yet we're still going about our lives as if something, everything is good. It blows me away. The conversation at every dinner table now shouldn't be about who's going to win the hockey game tonight. It's what can we do to further the destruction of the corporation.
That's it.
People have to identify the enemy. And so society does that, should live. We're in trouble.
Well, brother, you get it. You get it. Muddy gets it. I get it. A lot of the folks on this network, they get it. We have reached a point of enlightenment to where we're not like totally enlightened to where we know all there is to know, but we are enlightened enough to realize that there is a need, there is a necessity, there is a danger, and we need to address this on a mass scale. We need to get more people involved, more people walking up and down the seashores looking for things that need to be fixed so that the birds can live and the fish. And once the food chain dies, it's all dominoes. It comes all back to us. When the last domino falls, I said in my dream, I stood on the side of the seashore, and I watched the very last sunrise of this world. And the only thing that I could say with my last breath was, what a waste. Because going back to the beginning of the dream or vision, whatever you want to call it, going back all the way back to the very first day that this world was created, and to see the situation that we're living in today, and to know that we're not moving hard enough and fast enough to work towards making sure that our children have a decent place to live, a wonderful world to live in, a safe world, without all the smut and the trash and the death and destruction that is pumped into our children's and our families' brains on a daily basis. We are literally allowing evil to whip us down into depression, sickness, wars, rumors of wars. Get out there and just observe what's going on the internet. All right? Just don't respond to anybody. Just go out there, jump on a video, and look down and see the chats, listen to what people are saying, and watch. And you will be shocked. If you really pay attention to what's going on in this world, you will be completely shocked.
People don't want to do that. Don't want to get knocked out of their comfort zone, should they? Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
It's so in front of your face, and yet people refuse to look at it. Well, they know something's wrong, but they don't want to address it. They just go about their lives saying everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
You've got to look in the mirror, guys. You've got to look in the mirror.
It ain't going to be fine, because when your neighbor falls, guess who's next? You know, it's like somebody did a deal a while back, you know, and said something about, when they came for the black man, you said nothing. When they came for the yellow man, you said nothing, and so on down the line. And finally, when they came for you, there was nobody there to protect you, nobody to help you out.
And never
that's how profound that is.
That's very profound. You look when we look at society today.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's going on in our society. Like you said, you don't know your neighbor. I don't know my neighbor. Anybody out there can't say, hey, I've had a conversation. maybe a few you can, but look, you can't say you've had a conversation with your neighbors in the last 3 or 4 months.
Well, my nearest neighbor is... My nearest neighbor is a quarter mile away from me, and my nearest neighbor is a wonderful soul, a nature-loving individual, peaceful, awesome guy. His name's Chuck, and we have conversations all the time, and if I don't talk to him for a while, he'll check up on me, make sure I'm all right, and vice versa. And that's the way all my neighbors are around me. And so I'm blessed to live in an area to where I can live in peace, and I have neighbors that would always have my back if I needed help. And that's what the world should be. You know,
I'm seeing a mass awakening right now, which is of people. I'm seeing that everywhere I go. And to counter that, we're going to see an all-out attack by the government on the internet, on our freedoms, on our freedom of speech. We see it in Canada now, unprecedented attacks on our freedom through Bill C-51. That alone with the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement. Man, folks really gotta read that hard, and the implications and the writing in that agreement alone should shock you to a point where you're standing in front of your representative's office that's one thing. We're not going to take this crap. Basically, folks, it gives the corporations all the power over every resource on the planet. The manipulation of legal challenges. It's unbelievable what's going on with that agreement alone. I mean, these issues are all around us. You really get people to get very honest.
Yeah.
And I say, hey man, if we don't address these issues, well, we really are going to have to, and this is something I keep thinking every day, is that, you know, I'm going to have to look my children in the eye if I don't do something about this, if I don't spend my time and my thoughts trying to wake people up. I'm going to have to look them in the eye and say, hey guys, I knew about it, but I didn't do anything about it, and look where we are now.
Do you know what we're doing right now, Barry?
Unbelievable. Look, one of the things, I mean, I read a report here 2 days ago, and these are really, really hard reports, guys, about the extension of honeybees. The ones saying, hey, 2 or 3 years, there ain't going to be honeybees on this planet. Well, people realize the implication of that, Shazoo.
Yeah.
You are looking at starvation on this planet like never before experienced in human history. Yet we go about our lives like everything's fine. It's just like driving me nuts. I'm looking at this whole scenario. Well, why are not people screaming at the top of their voices? Why are they not going to the door saying, hey, we've taken enough of this? Why aren't they rising in mass? Because we are fighting right now.
Do you know what we're doing right now? You, me, and Muddy right here on this show. We're pushing the wagon. Right now, we're pushing the wagon. And at some point, Muddy's going to get tired, or I'm going to get tired, or you're going to get tired. And if we give up, the wagon goes back down the hill. What we need is other folks to come out here and push the wagon as well. We need to have as many people behind the wagon pushing the wagon. And when one of us drops, somebody picks them up and somebody else jumps in there and takes over. Because what we've got going on, like you said, with the honeybees. When the honeybees fail, you ain't got no more fruit trees. You ain't got no more flowers being pollinated. Everything that you think you got, you can go to the grocery store and get, it's gone. And
then people are waking up, actually.
Then you'll have to wake up.
Yeah, a little late.
But if you wake up to an empty refrigerator, then you wake up with a hungry belly, you know, which didn't have to happen. You know, go out there and plant some food in your garden for your family, but also throw some extra in there for your neighbor or somebody else who might be in need. Just think about if everybody did that. My stepfather lives out in the community. It's a farming community. And what they do is they always grow huge gardens. And they always have way more than they need. And what they do is they take around and they'll give to each other and fill up each other's refrigerators. And then they'll send some off to other people. And they just share all their labor. They didn't have to go out there and pick all them tomatoes and pumpkins and corn and all the vegetables that they did. They didn't have to go out there and do that to give to their neighbors. But they get it. They understand that you help your neighbors out. Your neighbors help you out. And then when times are really hard and your cupboards start looking bare, there's always somebody showing up to your door with something to keep you going. There's a saying that God doesn't always give you what you want, but He always gives you what you need. You see what I mean there? Barry?
Yeah, I agree with you. This is just my mind thinking of those two things. Actually, I had to get up early this morning because I got a bunch of orders coming for Chinese concentrate, which is great, but I had to run up a pea tree this morning, which is, somebody very familiar with the pea tree, and I had to go get a little water. That drive took me a long time to reflect on exactly what's going on with the planet, and you know, it ends up with an overwhelming situation when you really look at the mountain, but yet in a month or it's really not an overwhelming situation. You know, I got some reports this week on solar. I mean, there's so many things we can do right now as a society to really, really fight back against corporations. And one of them, guys, and you know this, and I know this, and Muddy knows this, is grasping the whole solar issue, that and magnetic power. We have the knowledge on this planet right now to completely eliminate all the ways that we're generating power and give this planet a chance to revive. And if society doesn't grasp these concepts and continue down this road, we are going to destroy this planet.
Well,
I mean, we've got to think about our next 4 or 5 generations. Yet the answers are right in front of us. They're over top of our head. I mean, she lives. I mean, every day I study links on the implementation of bringing the hemp plant widespread across this planet. That alone, if it was done, guys, and it was done widespread, would have tremendous effect on what we've done. How we have destroyed the biosphere. We look at the effect of glyphosate on our biosphere. I read reports on that this week. She goes, it's just absolutely astounding at what's happening to our soil because of all these pesticides and glyphosate and all the aluminum that's been put into our soil. We are really, really laying down an incredible legacy of destruction right now. It has to be reversed. People have to address this. We have to look inside ourselves and say, look, you know, this isn't crap. This isn't some kind of fairy tale these guys are making up. Like Shazam said, all you got to do is get your face out of the TV and go spend 2 or 3 hours on the internet and punch up any search engine, anything going on in our society. Punch up aspartame, punch up fluoride, punch up vaccines, punch up chemtrails, punch up anything that's going on in our society and tell me you see one issue there that's benefiting is human beings. I can't find any.
Two notes on what you're talking about is the first thing, everything that you're personally doing yourself, as small as you may think it, and as little difference as you may think it's making, is the step forward that we're talking about. If you're just only able to go out and put some time into donating your time to working and helping somebody else out there, making their life a little bit better, that is a step forward. So just the power of that alone is amazing. Now, on the clean alternative energy, there are brilliant minds out there, and if we could bring these individuals together at the table long enough to just do it, then that is a step forward. Yesterday I did some experiments with static energy because I had this different view of how electricity functions and ways to harness energy. And I found out 100%, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know that it is possible to build a static motor that is as powerful or even more powerful than the best electric motor out there. I literally got an aluminum disc and a steel rod and a neodymium magnet to jump off the floor using nothing more than a static charge. So I know that there is enough torque going on in that deal right there with just one little simple deal to literally build a generator / electric motor that will do exactly what the internal combustion engine does, the best electric motor that you got out there with the least amount of effort involved.
Well, we got to get that out there, get a blueprint on the internet and flash it out across the world.
Well, I'm going to draw
up. If you can get a neodymium magnet to jump off the floor, I'm just going to, people out there don't know how strong a neodymium magnet is, but incredible power in a permanent magnet that never takes electricity to make the magnetic force that it's got. Incredible power in a neodymium.
Well,
and to say that you can't take that and harness it and make it do work, well, that would be an illogical statement, wouldn't it?
The key is in two things on this deal. The magnetic field, the magnet itself, thinking about the magnet and how magnets interact with a magnetic field. The second key is capacitors and knowing how much potential power can be stored in a capacitor. The third potential is the actual spark gap itself. and allowing the time for the full potential. I mean, instead of shortening the gap to where you could speed it up and allowing this thing to take its full potential energy and punch over to the spark gap to hit the source, therein lies a lot of energy power. I mean, like I said, an 800 microfarad capacitor will blow your thumb right off your hand. No ifs, ands, or buts. I don't suggest that anybody touch a capacitor of any sort unless they know exactly that that thing's totally discharged.
Right.
Because it will blow your finger right off your hand. But
right. You know, Larry Wood brought me to attention to a corporation in Germany that's going to release a prototype next year of a car that drives with magnets in the wheels. I'm sure it's called Aero Corporation. Have you looked into that?
I've looked into rotor or wheel motors, hub motors is what they call them. Yeah. All kinds of different.
Pretty incredible, man.
But this this technology that I'm talking about here is not nothing new. It's just put in a different form than what it's been used before. If you could visualize the rotor on an electric motor and think about how that actually functions, it has, like if it's an AC motor, it'll have a coil that is actually driving the rotor. And if it is a permanent magnet motor, it is the coil of the rotor that's actually being energized that is interacting with the permanent magnets. And so you have a magnetic field interacting with each other. One is an electromagnetism, one is a permanent magnet. Either way, you still get the same result. You just put the energy in a little bit different. Now, if you can visualize, instead of having a rotor that has any coils on there, and what I'm talking about is literally building an electric motor that has absolutely no copper wire in it whatsoever. There's no need for a strong magnetic field to energize this. The only thing you're going to be energizing this is with static energy. Now, if you could picture this thing with a rotor that has several different discs on it, that each one of these discs are literally supercapacitors, each and every one of them. Let's say you stack 10 cookies on top of each other. You get the visual what that rotor would look like. Each one of those cookies is a capacitor. All right, and each one of these capacitors, the spark gap on these capacitors are offset just a hair around, just like you would be for a gear or whatever. When these things discharge at their full potential, it has amazing torque. I ain't kidding. Well, you'll see, you can now start to see, if you followed along with me, how that thing would begin to turn. Alright? And all you have to do in order to keep that thing charged up is a static discharge, which is super simple. I mean, the Van de Graaff generator does it, the Wimshurst generator does it, rubbing your feet on the carpet and touching your brother's ear, same concept. Rubbing a balloon on your head and touching the balloon near a metal object, same concept, static energy. Lightning bolts themselves are static discharges from the earth to the ground, or vice versa, whichever way you believe. Irregardless, the power potential in a bolt of lightning is amazing. It has enough power potential to not only create visible light, but an acoustic wave that creates a thunder, an explosion, which we call thunder, but it has heat potential and electrical power potential all in one deal. Now imagine an electric motor with tons of little micro-sized lightning bolts. The power potential in that. It would be noisy and you wouldn't want it around anything that was flammable. However, it would be extremely powerful, and if it was encased in a vacuum, would be even more powerful.
I believe that.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, I know she does. I mean, and you know, the scary thing is that, you know, there's thousands of people around the world working on this right now, but man, imagine if tens of thousands more were given the finances and the ability to develop these fields of energy. The changes we see on this planet would absolutely follow our mind.
Well, the motor that I'm talking about, the motor that I'm talking about could be made at such an alarming low price. That it is just mind-boggling.
I mean, that's what implications against the corporation patient is. You think they do that?
Oh, they definitely wouldn't like it.
Shake them up, wouldn't it? But you can take your electrical power bill, you can take your gas bill, you can take it all.
If you took
If
you took money's actual flux wind turbine, and you modified that actual flux wind turbine to have super fine windings in the coils, as opposed to trying to draw current watts, amps, all that, all you want to do is you want to build up the highest voltage that you could possibly get, because voltage is pressure. If you took that and you put it on the same rotor, while you're running that motor, you're creating a massive amount of high voltage that is putting a static discharge back into those capacitors at such alarming rate. The faster you go, the more power this thing would create.
Wow.
And it could be made literally starting out of junk, but preferably somebody gets in a machine shop with a plasma cutter and cuts out some aluminum disc and other materials necessary for all the metal portions of it, and then somebody else get the plastic, or even if we went to the best dielectric, which I believe would be glass, we could build this thing. Literally. And it could be done in less than a month's time. I say less than a month's time because if we had everybody in the same shop, we could build it in less than a week. It's that simple. And everything that we've got, we can dig out of the dump. Everything we need, we can dig right out of the dump. There's so much stuff thrown away, it's just ludicrous. I mean, there's every material. And it's so incredibly simple. There's nothing high-tech about it at all. If you go out there on YouTube, you look up ion drive motors or capacitor deals where they're discharging capacitors and getting work out of it, you'll start understanding what it is that I'm saying with this deal. It can be done.
You got my mind going in a million different directions. Seems like in my world, if any of this is true, it would be a win-win situation, wouldn't it, Shane?
It's true.
Come on, guys. And maybe we need to build another nuclear power plant or dam another river. There we go.
You wouldn't have to, because it's using something that is so prevalent in nature. Static energy is so prevalent in nature. That's why they tell you when you get out the car to ground yourself before you pour the gas in your deal, because a static discharge will leap across there. Believe it or not, that thousands of volts that's coming out from under your finger across to the metal is going to ignite that fuel. All right? Same thing.
So let me get this straight. So you're telling me that all the nuclear power plants, all the coal-fired nuclear or energy, like the generating plants, all the rivers that have been dammed, every aspect of generating power on this planet now could be eliminated, and we could simply implement this and all that would be gone?
I guarantee you 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt.
That's an exciting statement to me, Shazam.
And I will stake my entire reputation on all that I've learned and that throughout all my entire life, that to do this is so incredibly simple. And if you need an initial power source, you've got an initial power source in so many different directions, with the solar, with the water. There are so many ways to get this thing initiated that nature already provides. You're not creating any kind of pollutants. You're not creating any kind of danger towards anybody. The only danger would be that when this thing is running, you make sure you shut it off before you service it. That's as simple as that. And you could literally put bearings in this thing that would never, ever go out. You could literally put magnetic bearings in there that would be frictionless and would never, ever fail.
Just get it running first.
That's it. It's that simple.
That whole concept of, you know, of magnets doing power, you know, I've talked many times about my other friend that's doing this, and she won't come on there because she's being threatened right now, but that's true. I'm not kidding. People will kill to keep this technology away from the public, and people that are doing it, some of them are being threatened. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, she is. But anyway, her design is simple, what you're talking about, an odd even configuration. and using the neodymium magnets to do work.
Well,
it only makes sense if you have an odd even configuration, the magnets will never line up on the opposing pole on your design. It is very simple.
There is a group out there.
They got helicopters over his house every time he fires his thing up.
There's forces working against it. Go ahead.
There's a group out there called the Atmospheric Group that have two 200-foot towers out, poles out there on their property. They are pulling 2 kilovolts of electricity right out of thin air. They're charging up a huge capacitor bank at 9,000 volts. 9,000 volts is a lot of freaking potential energy. And it doesn't... What we're talking... Huh?
What would it cost to set something like that up? Just a quick question for you.
The static poles like they're doing?
Yeah.
Whatever the material is for the 200-foot poles up, the nano carbon that they put on there, which like guys like Robert Murray Smith work on, makes it in his own garage, and whatever the cost of the wire to bring it from the top down, and then whatever the transformers themselves or the capacitor bank, that's the only cost in there. And once it's up and running, you know, unless you blow a capacitor out, you got continuous energy. And there's an equation for how many feet off the ground, how many voltage will you get of static energy. The higher you go up, the more static energy you got, because now you're taking what would be normally the spark gap of nature between the earth and the sky itself that builds up a static charge until it ionizes the air in between the earth and the ground from the static buildup on both sides, then the lightning can't make a path up or down. And so, you know, you shorten that gap, now you have all that potential energy that is being drawn to that tower and down the wire into your capacitor bank. It's so incredibly simple that it's just mind-blowing. But you could do it. You could literally build a tower. It don't even have to be 200 feet in the air. The higher you get up, the more static buildup you're going to get. And during times of bad weather, it's going to be even better for you. But you build these poles up there to collect the static energy, run them down, you run them through a high voltage static motor that will in turn produce enough torque to turn a generator head. You can run all the conventional junk that you run right now without any fuel ever being put in, or any exhaust being made. It's that simple. Look at the static motor itself, the atmosphere motor, the Atmo motor. When you get that running, that's running off a high voltage. It's just done basic. It's just a crude static motor.
And well, I guess our mission now is to inform the public about this. They should listen.
Yeah, I'm going to draw up as many diagrams as I can to try to help everybody out and send them out. I'm going to put them on the site. I'm going to put them on my YouTube channel, and I'm going to prove what I showed about the magnets and the metal looping off the dining floor from the power. I initially knew something was going on every time this thing would arc, I'd watch the wires on there jump. That tells me something. That there's a lot of pressure behind that wire. There's a magnetic field that is being generated as that discharge goes across there. Well, I took a neosphere, 3/4-inch neodymium magnet, and I put it on the top of this gizmo that I was working with to try to get... I was trying to build a static motor to try to get it to function, which I never did get the doggone thing to turn because it was made in such a crude fashion that it just didn't work. And so I put this neodymium magnet on the top of this thing, and every time that thing would pulse a hard arc on that thing, you'd literally watch that thing leap off the floor. And so I knew right then and there that thing had more than enough torque, that if it was put on a rotor, that it would be just as good as the best electric motor out there, just as good as the best internal combustion engine out there. If it was refined and designed and put into a system, you could have a high-voltage static motor that didn't require a lot of power input. All you have to do is create a high-voltage charge to it, and you can get that high-voltage charge right out of the sky.
Well, that kind of sets a light on the day that we're talking about all this doom and gloom that's happening on our planet. Here we have something in front of us that there's truth to it, which could absolutely revolutionize the planet. Right here in front of us. I mean, that's got to be a good day, folks. really does. He does look
interesting. What's funny? What's funny? I mean, you got these radio towers, and they go up into the air, and they got big old lag bolts, all thread put into the cement that is set in. The cement is into the ground, and if you look at the legs of those, you find big, fat cables going into the ground. Why do they need fat cables? Four of them, one off each leg, going down into ground rods into the ground. Well, cement is conductive. I'll tell you, in electrical safety around your higher voltage and stuff, that if you were barefoot on the cement, you'd get the wazoo zapped out of you. But they still need these big fat cables at the bottom of the tower, because as the wind blows, that tower collects a lot of static electricity, and it is enough to kill you or zap you. That's why they have four of them that are real fat, about as thick as your thumb, going down into the ground. Just putting that tower up.
Well, proof of what you're saying is somebody out there who's a musician who's ever played in the basement knows better than to stand there in your bare feet on the concrete floor and pick out doodling banjos on his electric guitar.
Yeah.
Is it a light yet, brother?
You'd be playing dueling banjos and speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
We gonna do a song or two for Breaker, or are we gonna run all the way through?
Yeah, we could do a quick short break. We've had so much to talk about, so much to say. I'm telling everybody, you know, we got a lot of problems coming down the road, and we have to take it serious. But we're not. There's a saying out there. I know somebody might not like it too much.
Take a lesson from the Lorax.
It's not over till the fat lady sings, is what they say, man. And I don't hear no music yet. You know, we see a lot of stuff that needs to be addressed. We see a lot of things that, you know, in nature are not the way they should be. And we should seriously be taking this serious, because it does affect us. It affects our children and our future generations and all of humanity. But we're not beyond hope. We have the answers. And it's going to take everyone to just up and decide that we just need to do it. You're not going to ask your government. Your government's going to tell you no. The government's going to regulate you. You just get together at each other's barbecue. You go in the shop, you build it, you send it on down the road. The plan's on down the road. You don't plan on getting rich off the deal. You just do it just for the betterment of humanity. And like I said, you can't sell a widget if everyone already owns a widget. So the corporations are out of luck. And yeah, they'd kill the one guy that might be getting ready to tell a secret. But I just told you guys the secret. It works. Try it out. And you already got it. Spread it. And once, you know, it's not like they're going to come around and kill us all. Then they ain't got nobody to work for them. The fact of the matter is, that's how you beat the system. You beat the system by not feeding the system. You beat the system by doing it and showing everybody. And then everybody in the world has a widget. And there's no reason for anybody to be able to kill you over it. Because what are you going to do? You're going to go around killing everybody that has a free energy device? You're going to run out of people pretty soon. And eventually some of those people are going to get a little bit nasty, and it might be you that goes instead of them. Anyway, we'll throw some music up on there. I'm going to put in Creedence and Lynyrd Skynyrd. How's that sound?
Sounds wonderful.
All right, stay tuned. Peace and love, everybody.
Roundtable.
Hello, everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I got Muddy on here and Barry on here, and we've got some amazing things we've been talking about. Right, the last thing we were talking about was a alternative energy device out there that can and will be proven. That's a fact. We were if you get out there on YouTube, look up atmospheric motors, Atmo motors, and watch how they function. Lid motor, laser saber, and a few others out there have done some really amazing work and that kind of stuff. Also look for what's he call that doggone motor? It's an easy spin motor. And look at how little voltage that easy spin works off of. Now, all these small devices that we're talking about, they don't seem to have enough torque in order to be able to do a lot of physical work. But even after they've done more research, they've figured out that they can get physical work out of these things. And after what I discovered yesterday while working on my version of the Atmo motor, that there is enough power potential in the discharge across the spark gap from a capacitor to literally move an aluminum disc, a metal rod, and a neodymium magnet off the floor. And that takes a lot of torque. That's a lot of power. And that was just one little deal. Now, if you take that thing right there, it's the difference between you having a one-cylinder engine to a 12-cylinder engine. There's the concept. It's that basic. An 800 microfarad capacitor, like I've said many times before, will literally blow your thumb right off your hand. Now, the atmospheric motor and the way that all these other, the easy spin motor, the designs on them are simplistic, but a little complex as far as the way that they actually make them. What I'm talking about is more advanced. And it's easier to do than you. It actually takes no copper wire in the entire system whatsoever, outside of whatever energy you might want to drain off the other side. It doesn't have the back EMF problems because you have no physical connections for the electrons to make a return path. It's a one way. Once the energy goes, it goes right down the line and doesn't come back, and so that you don't have a chance to build up a secondary magnetic field that they call back EMF that slows down the armature, which then in turn makes the motor have to work harder. It's a simple pressure of high voltage discharge going across to hit a material that will literally produce force just like a lightning bolt. You just got to visualize, instead of a lightning bolt going from the ground to the sky, you got a lightning bolt going from a capacitor disc to a metal object on the other side. When that lightning bolt hits the stationary object on one side, the potential energy has to go somewhere, which turns that rotor disc. And so if you can picture this thing, the power hitting across there in the Atmo motor, it's doing the same thing. It's just doing it on a smaller scale, a weaker scale, because it doesn't have the storage capability in it in order to be able to store energy long enough to let that build up to its full charge and then send it across the spark gap. The Atmo motor is working exactly the same way. It's as that energy potential where the negative wants to go to the positive and it gets that little spin, but it for some reason doesn't have the torque that it needs to put the capacitors in there and do the system the way that I'm talking about. It will you allow that capacitor, like when piston number one in your car is up, the next one in line is down. And when that one goes down, it pushes the second one up, and so on and so forth. So using the power, the discharge power from, let's just go back to the 800 microfarad capacitor. When that discharge, when you discharge one of those, I did one in my lab. And my wife, who was at least three or four rooms away, heard the loud explosion come from my lab, come running up to see if I was all right. It sounded like a cannon going off. That's how much power. The acoustic wave that was sent through the house, it rocked everything around me, shaking stuff on the wall. She thought I blew myself up. All I did was put a screwdriver and weld a hole in the screwdriver. That's how much power potential was stored in that capacitor. So, thinking about that, and yeah, and it's simple. The average Joe could build it. All I say is this, if you're messing around with capacitors, you got to make sure you discharge that thing. Do not handle them bare hand unless you know for a fact that you discharged it. And don't just discharge it once. Discharge it a couple times to make sure there's no residual in there.
Or you're going to get a little light up.
That's right. And I've been
when I was working at Ludlow Measurements, man, we used to, you know, it was mainly an assembly kind of plant for Geiger counters. We had lots of capacitors. And the so-called storage, or basically parts department, the head of the parts department would walk around during lunchtime and pick up all the capacitors sitting on the edge of our desks and stuff like that. And then we'd have to go back and requisition more. Huh. Which made no sense because we requisitioned them. She should have left them alone. So we figured it out, and we were trying to figure out who was stealing the capacitors, making us do that. And so we charged them all up.
Well, all I can say, guys, is that
she complained in the meeting, and they basically explained to her, why do you think we keep inventory? And why do you think they requisition these parts so they can use them? They go off to lunch, you're not supposed to touch any of them. So basically they had to do a whole inventory of the whole thing all over again. She almost got fired.
Yeah, you know who the guilty party is when the mousetrap goes up, because you'll hear them.
Oh yeah, she was cussing about it in the meeting. It's funny.
Anyway, guys,
you put this up on YouTube there, so everybody should be watching your channel and immediately make a copy of this and put it away somewhere where the government can't take it away, because this kind of information you know and I know.
Well,
it gets out there, and the government sees it, so there's going to be some rumors.
Before it actually goes up on YouTube, I'm going to load it up in Skype and send it across to all the alternative energy guys as well. I'm going to cover all bases whenever I get this thing ready, and that way whenever I upload it, everybody's got it and they can just start handing it over as fast as they can to whoever wants it. And if I get shot or killed in a car crash today, you know the basic concepts. It does work. You guys go look at the atmospheric motors, ion drive videos, and Muddy's wind turbine, and Larry's coils, because efficient coils on the other end would be perfect for, you know, running all the other stuff on the way out. We have every single piece of the puzzle, every answer to the free energy devices, the perfect free energy device out there. I'm saying the easiest, fastest way to do it is using static energy potential. The same thing that you see that a lightning bolt does, you can duplicate that on a small scale. And literally, when you see the difference in the arc from a capacitor as opposed to just a regular, let's say, Van de Graaff or a Windsurf or any static generator, you'll see the definite difference. You will see a distinct, it looks exactly like a lightning bolt as it's going across there. And it's thick, it's powerful, and it has a punch to it. The atmosphere motor is a simplistic design. It's already proof of concept. The ion drive motors, all the, you see them out there, they put them on top of Tesla coils. They spin the little deal across the top of there from the ion wind. When this thing is getting ready to go, you can literally feel a wind build up right before that spark gap goes, and you can feel the pressure off of it as it discharges across. So that tells me that you can literally build an electric motor that is just as good as the best electric motor out there that uses nothing more than a static discharge across multiple spark gaps all the way down the line to turn a rotor. And I know what I'm saying is the truth, and I will prove it. But if anything was to happen to me, you go with that concept, and you're going to see exactly what I saw. Watch the wires on every time a capacitor bank discharges. Watch the wires. They'll jump right before that discharge. And when that discharge, the way that they do rail guns, look at the damage that is done to things by that power potential that will literally eat right through metal. I mean, it'll weld metal together instantaneously from the discharge of a capacitor. I've got a screwdriver to this very day that when I discharged out there in my lab has a big chunk taken out of the side of it from the power potential that that thing had.
Let's get every free energy inventor in the world.
Well, start spreading, this podcast would be a good start, you know. Cut out the section that talks about the static motor generator, whatever. Cut out that section, send it over to your alternative energy guys, and have them come to tell me why it wouldn't work. And then whenever I get through talking to them, they'll understand that it will work, and we can do it. We can call each other on Skype, and we can start cutting pieces, and they can build a prototype right side by side mine at the same time, and we all drop our videos at the same time. Ain't nothing nobody can do about it.
Well, sir, I'll tell you some words. If this is a reality, which I believe it is, then we're talking about something that can revolutionize the world, and I think you should get a Nobel Peace Prize for this, my friend.
Well, I ain't looking for a prize.
We're talking about something that can absolutely revolutionize the world. Very simple, but very efficient. It's a win-win situation. Look at what we're looking at, guys. And look at this. Wow, this is pretty cool. I should say thanks for bringing this. It's my attention day because this is all new to me.
I just took all the pieces out there that everybody's working on, all the pieces of the puzzle. I set them down on the table. I stepped back and I looked at it and I said, wait a second. That atmospheric motor, it's moving. That tells me that you don't have to have all the current watts and amps to get motion. So there's a start. Now, how can I amplify that? All right? And all these things that I put together, you know, current watts and amps, I know I get myself in trouble every time I talk about it, but that's for running the system that we've got now. And we can still run the system we got now. We're just going to start off moving the energy from point A to point B in a different fashion. We're going to use everything that nature has already created without any kind of fuel whatsoever to initiate this static motor. We can do it with wind power. We can do it with poles up in the air to grab the static charge out of the air. Or we can generate it on the fly with starting off with an electric motor and working our way up through the charge of it all. And you don't have to worry about, you're not getting out more than you're putting in. You're just using it so incredibly efficient that you are getting the work done that you want without putting any kind of pollutions in or out of the deal. It's that simple, man. And it's something
that... It boggles my mind to see if they need them thick old cables at the bottom of the doggone radio station antenna, why don't they just use that power to broadcast with?
Well, they should, and they probably do to some extent, but they don't tell anybody about it. I mean, when those towers are that high in the air, look how tall a radio tower is. You think it's not picking up a static charge? They got to ground that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Why not use that and add it to your transmission?
That's right. Everything out there, when you look at it, you'll notice the difference between the ground charge and a simulated ground charge on the strength of that deal. When you got a ground to the earth itself, and you run a static charge across there, static charge just on an object alone will have power. But a static charge to the ground, you will literally see that what Tesla was talking about, the electron flow, I mean, it baits electrons out of the earth, and you get a pile instead of a crackle. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Try it sometime. Take one of your wires out the wall and touch it towards the ground and see if you don't get an arc up off that thing.
Well, I know one thing. When you go, when you're trying to use a transformer, you can put DC to a transformer, but the only time you're going to get anything out of the secondary is when you first hook it up and when you take it off, because it needs it needs AC to run that transformer. It needs a magnetic flux change, just the same as your alternator is only generating when the magnet is approaching the coil and when it's leaving the coil, not when the magnet is over the coil.
Well, go back.
So the thing is, you take your spark gap, and you take your spark gap and you adjust that spark gap till you get maximum out in AC. You know what I'm saying? It shouldn't go spark.
Go spark. Back and take spark. A second look.
It should be more like a buzzing sound, but you can maximize the output by changing the frequency to what that coil is going to resonate at.
Go back and
I think you can get a lot out of it that way.
Go back and take a second look at my static electricity, this last video that I put out. Take a second look at what's going on there. I'm using a Van de Graaff generator that goes through a custom-made transformer that I made. And essentially what it is, I took a coil that was already off the electric motor, and I took all the laminates out of the center of it, so all I have left now is just the coil itself, just the windings on the coil. Then I took and I rounded both sides, opposite sides, with some heavy gauge multi-strand wire. There's two coils there, and then I took on the outside of it horizontally and wrapped another primary around that. When you see that static discharge go across there, it energizes that first primary, which also energizes the second primaries. And as that energy is being drawn through there, when that pulse goes across to the Tesla coils that it was connected to, then that also creates a magnetic field that also goes back down into that secondary, and you're getting energy while you're using energy. You're catching off some back EMF off of that the magnetic field from that lightning strike across the spark gap. That's how that coil that's in the center of that video works. And you can watch, you know that secondary is working, because the only thing connected to that secondary was that little fluorescent bulb that I had that was connected direct in there. And it was enough energy to energize that secondary with that process. So the potential is mind-boggling. When a lightning bolt strikes, you create a magnetic field wave that it's amazing. And we've had it in our face all along. We've seen lightning strikes and what they can do. They'll start fires. They'll burn holes in the ground. They will literally melt sand into glass. They'll create
beautiful glass.
Yeah. They'll create an acoustic wave that you'll hear for miles. Invisible light that you'll see for miles. Free energy right there in front of your face. And if you want to set up big transformer stations all over the globe, you find a place that the lightning runs 24/7, and you can run a grid from that point all the way around to the entire world and run generating systems that would run under everybody's house, everybody's lights, refrigerators, washers, dryers 24/7 without ever using one drop of fuel. It's that simple.
That's right.
No nuclear, no fossil fuel.
I want to sign up.
Go ahead.
Oh, man. You got me going here. She's working. Come on, guys. This is pretty exciting information. My world is full. I wasn't aware of it, my friend. I really wasn't. And
well, somewhere in this world,
I mean, it only makes sense. Look at the power of the lightning bolt.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's lightning.
Exactly, and there's countries in the world where they get massive lightning strikes regularly. So wow, set up a grid there.
Yep.
You're gonna catch it. Look at that, what a concept, man. It's got me going, buddy. I would promote this to the map.
They got a building in New York. I haven't been able to find the article a second time. I read it when I was in an auto repair place, and I actually got the magazine, but I haven't seen it since. This was years ago. But the top two floors of this skyscraper is nothing but a power management, and it runs the building and takes care of 3/4 of the power that whole building uses.
Yep.
And all it is taking lightning and static from the air to do it.
Yep. If you can imagine an 800 microfarad capacitor having the capability to blow your thumb right off your hand, think about what a 500,000 microfarad capacitor would do. Dude, that's the difference between a BB gun and a freaking cannon.
You mean a 5 farad?
5,000. I've got 3 5,000 microfarad capacitors. 500,000 microfarad. I got a million and a
not
half
microfarads.
No, 500K microfarad capacitors are in existence. They use them in stereo systems.
Right, well,
and they use them to supplement.
Microfarads is decimal. I'm saying get 500 farads, then you got something.
Oh, yeah, but I'm just saying, going scaling up for like, you talk about if a 500, if an 800 microfarad capacitor blow your finger off your hand, you can imagine what a 500,000 microfarad capacitor would do. Any higher than that, you're looking at instantaneous, like the bug zapper, turning the, remember bug zapper fly swatter, put the extra 500 volt capacitors on, there's four extra 500 volt capacitors. It turns a bug to dust, man. Poof, it's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. It's in the next dimension.
Boomer likes licking them, that's right.
He wouldn't lick this one. He'd only do it once if he did. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it's that simple. It's that simple. We've been watching lightning blow around and all that potential energy. And there are actually, you can look around and you'll find atmospheric motors that they put outside, hang them on the wall. And during lightning storms, they will begin to spin. And the reason why they do that is because right before the lightning bolt actually discharges, there's a static charge buildup in the air that you can feel, especially if you're standing in a general vicinity. Everyone who's ever been struck by lightning said, all I know is the next thing I know, the hair stood up on my back, and the next thing I know, I was clear across the yard. Yeah. So it gave you a warning sign it was getting ready to go. But you didn't heed the warning. If you're outside somewhere and the static freaking the hair starts standing up on the back of your neck, I would say book it to the next tree and grab on or something to ground yourself out really quick. You know?
When I was 10 years old, I was doing something I should never have done. I was fishing beside a river in the Stroke, Ontario, at a Bible camp. And my dad told me all my life, do not stand under trees when there's a rainstorm. Well, where was I standing underneath the tree? But luckily, 15 feet away from us, there was a metal pole sticking out of the ground that they used to tie the boats up to. And I turned around, and I watched the lightning bolt strike that pole 15 feet away from me, standing underneath a 100-foot tree. And it literally made my body vibrate.
Yeah.
I'm not lying to you guys, I was 15 feet away. And I turned around and watched this lightning bolt strike that metal pole. And if that metal pole hadn't been there, I'm sure it would have gone to the tree.
Well, if you want to talk about...
Thank God.
If you want to talk about levitation...
I kid you not.
You know the pipe fences that they put, you know... out at Fort Monroe, we're sitting there watching tornadoes, man. And we're right on the edge of the water, and we're on a sidewalk, and the handrail that goes along the whole side made out of pipe, you know, and it goes back down to the little flanges and is bolted into the cement every 8 feet or so, you know, and they wouldn't let you near that. They'd let you go up, you know, they'd let you go up about 10 foot from it, but they wouldn't let you put your hand on it. You know, and we heard a couple people mouthing, oh yeah, man, it's just blah, blah, they don't know, it ain't never gonna, and the lightning hit that sucker. And that St. Elmo's fire and all that stuff ran all the way up and down that sucker, down all the way out, because it was all connected, out to the, pretty much to the docks and going down into the water, and it flashed several times. Lightning hit that sucker and it flashed several times afterward, and everybody there could feel what you're talking about, that vibration.
Yeah, if you want to talk about vibration and levitation, I was laying in bed when the doggone lightning bolt hit the side of the gutter of my house, and you want to talk about levitation, I literally floated out of that bed like a cat. I was damn near stuck to the ceiling. That scared the living crud out of me, man.
What made me laugh so hard was this one guy, if there is a God, let him strike, you know. it wasn't very long after that. It wasn't very long at all. Not even a whole minute.
Yeah, you gotta watch what you ask for.
Oh yeah, lightning. Yeah, it ain't never gonna happen.
But zap! That's when it happened. It's like there wasn't a word. Except the kids and other people going, "Oh, my ears," and "Oh, my, I can't see," you know.
Well, the electricity and the lightning bolt, man, I was sitting on a porch in Penticton. We watched a lightning bolt strike a tree about 50 feet away from us in a rainstorm. And that tree sat there for about 10 minutes, and all of a sudden that tree just burst into flames, man. It was incredible.
How long would it take you with an axe to split a 30 to 100 foot tree straight down the middle?
Every time you find the tree that's hit by lightning, it's always burned in the inside.
A lightning bolt took a tree that was out in the back of my deal that's probably about at least 4 feet in diameter and literally split in half in an instant and set fire to it.
Wow.
That's how much power nature's got now.
How free do you actually think energy is?
I'm convinced.
I was watching these videos on the demonstration of Qigong. That's capital Q-I, capital G-O-N-G, all one word, Qigong. It's part of Tai Chi. But it's not the martial arts part of the fighting and everything. It's more about energy collection. And I've watched these guys move their hands out, and you see just before they before a fight, you see these guys going swoosh, you know, and they got their hands, and you see them like they're grabbing something and pulling it into them and everything like that. Well, there's this guy, he's kind of heavy set, and he's old, about 60 something years old, and he's out in the park every morning, and he tells these people, if you show up every morning for 3 years, I will take you in as a student, but you can't miss a single morning. And if you can affect him, he will take you as a student at that point and take you to the next level. Now this guy sits there, and all these people come by to watch the demonstrations and try to advance. And he sits there and he puts his hand out, almost like a stop, you know, and you stick your fist in the middle of his hand, he lays his fingers up on top. And as soon as you try to apply any of your chi or your force or anything, it gets thrown back at you. Seeing a guy get thrown where he couldn't catch his step and balance back for like 10 or 15 steps. And then you come up and try it again, and next thing you know, man, the guy's just kind of cringing and trying to stand while his body's wiggling like a snake because he's been zapped so much electricity.
Proof of what you're saying.
And then the guy just kind of looks to the left, and the guy gets thrown. You can tell he didn't get thrown on his own power because his foot wasn't in that direction. He's just all of a sudden, joing, he gets thrown in that direction. It's just like what you see. You say, that's got to be a bunch of bull. But no, that chi.
We're running down the wire, but proof of what you're saying real quick is go
that
out there.
That energy anybody
and Google.
Has. It's not just certain people that can do this. Anybody can. This
go out there
is free.
And Google the world's most amazing people and look at some of these things, the acrobatics and some of the things that these individuals out there are doing. Everybody has that potential within them. That's free energy. All right. It's whether you not you want to put the effort towards doing it. That's a different thing. You know, that's why most people aren't gymnastics, because I'm too fat, I can't do it. Well, you could if you wanted to work on your body. You could accomplish anything you want. But what Muddy's talking about in Tai Chi, where you're literally pulling up the energy from within and focusing it down your hand or whichever direction you want, is within the power of the human body. That's how amazing of a
And there's another guy, he takes a sheet of newspaper right in front of you, balls it up, or wads it up, lays it down on the ground, it starts unfolding. Then he sits here and he moves his hand around a few times and he puts his hand right over the top of it, and then you see his hand shake and he just pushes his energy. That thing just bursts into flame.
Yep. There's some amazing potential in the human. I'm telling you, just if only people could understand that. Either way, we're down to the wire, so we got to roll around there. You got any last words? We got to make them quick because we got to get up out of here.
The Lorax. I'm done. Take a lesson from the Lorax. God bless each and every one of you. Take care.
Yeah.
And happy Resurrection Day.
Yeah. What about you, Barry? Quick words of wisdom.
I'm absolutely astounded at some of the information that's been passed here today, and I hope that people listening here are astounded by this and we pursue it.
Well, pass the podcast around. Hold my feet to the fire. I'm telling you, I'm gonna prove it. I saw it with my own two eyes. I know the potential of static energy. And at first, I couldn't figure out where to get it to work better until accidentally, while trying to get my own personal version of the static motor to run, I witnessed it with myself. Aluminum plate, a steel rod, and a neodymium magnet literally leaped off the floor once that discharge went across there. I knew right then and there that it was possible to build a static electric motor that had as much torque as the best electric motor out there on the market today.
And I got your back on this one, you did 100%. Thanks for having me in, bud.
All right, well, like I said, anything ever happens to me, you go look at the static motor, the ion drive motors, the capacitor technology, and spark gaps. Those are the keys, and the materials are aluminum. The neodymium magnets would be a plus, but you don't have to have neodymium magnets because any magnetic field will be affected the same way.
Quickly, before the end of this year is over, I want to take one of them balls that you're talking about full of argon, and I want to play with chi, see if I can light it up.
Hey, now that would be cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, anyway, you all been listening to the Knights of the Round Table, another wonderful show. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Woman, man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king. Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh?
That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routine to call the scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Fulfills the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.